Welcome to Information Firearm Intelligence Analysis number 10, being recorded on September 13th, copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6.03 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good morning.
Welcome to Information Firearms Intelligence Analysis with Bob and Ion. We'll be taking a look at Michio Kaku and the Big Bang at CERN, Stuart Swerdlow and Dranvalo Melchizedek. Here's our first audio about CERN.
So you got this giant donut, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's being used to smash particles together
right.
to simulate the Big Bang from so many years ago. Mm-hmm. They worked on this sucker for 16 years.
That's right.
They finally did it, and you say it's only a pea shooter.
Compared to Mother Nature, right? Well, look, 10 billion euros, the work of over 5,000 physicists over 16 years, and the machine is finally operational.
And I say so
what? Great day.
What does it do for us?
Because we're going to unravel the secret of the Big Bang, where it came from, what happened before creation, what happened before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and also maybe even answer eternal questions like time. Is time travel possible? Are there other dimensions? Are there parallel universes? We can get hints, glimmers of these cosmic questions with this machine.
So you think we can figure out what happened before the Big Bang? You think we can figure out whether or not time travel's possible
because
of what they're doing on the French-Swiss border?
That's right. We're going to find not just particles. We're going to try to prove a theory called string theory, which is what I do for a living. String theory exists in 10, 11-dimensional hyperspace and other dimensions, and it actually says that maybe our universe was created by the collision of two other universes. And maybe our universe is a bubble of some sort, and there are other bubbles out there, other expanding and contracting bubbles.
And what would
bubbles.
These other bubbles mean to you?
These are other universes where perhaps there could be other laws of physics. I mean, this is huge.
Really?
This is greater than the Copernican Revolution when we realized that there are stars and galaxies out there.
We've been bringing you on for 3 years. You've never talked like this before.
Well, this is what I do for a living. Some people think it's too hard to understand, but I think the average person can realize, hey, these are words you hear in Star Trek, right?
Uh-huh.
These are concepts you hear, but no one ever works on these things. That's what the Large Hadron Collider
comes in. So you're putting this up there with Sir Isaac Newton and gravity.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting that up there with Thomas Edison and electromagnetism.
That's right.
You're putting that up there with Albert Einstein and E equals MC squared, which led to nuclear power.
Right.
That's what you're writing about today in the Wall Street Journal.
That's right.
It's significant.
It's that big. We're talking about unifying all the forces of nature. There are four forces that make the world move. Each time a force was unraveled, it unleashed the Industrial Revolution, the Electric Revolution, and now the Nuclear Revolution. And now we have a super force that we're going to try to unravel, which created the universe.
But what does that lead to?
Well, do
we know yet?
We don't know yet. Now, in the short term, people say, will I get better color television? Will I get better internet reception?
Cell service.
Yeah. And the answer is no. These are cosmic questions, questions that don't impinge directly on our lives.
All right, now listen, I read your piece today in the Wall Street Journal. Well done, by the way, and I recommend it to viewers at home. You wrote about something in here that I never knew. Ronald Reagan approved this to be built outside of Dallas, Texas.
Right.
They spent $1 billion, dug a giant hole, and nothing happened.
Right.
In 1993, they spent another $1 billion and filled in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And now all these physics professors who are conducting these experiments in Europe, it could have been happening here at home. And you're suggesting there's a bit of a
brain
drain from
right.
the United States to
right.
Europe to pursue projects like these.
Right. This machine could have been our machine. Ronald Reagan wanted a machine 3 times bigger than this peace shooter in Geneva, Switzerland. But Congress canceled it, and now the Europeans are creating the new Vatican of physics. Physicists are leaving the United States to go to Geneva, Switzerland. They get this brand new machine, and what do we get? We get a $2 billion hole.
Who made that call?
The United States Congress canceled the machine over the objections of President Ronald Reagan.
So, Ion, it's very interesting hearing this, because since we've interacted with you, it's regular fair to talk about parallel worlds and all these things that were blowing the mind of the interviewer of Michio Kaku. But let's go back. You know, we're kind of jaded about that, our audience. Is what's CERN going to discover equal to an Einsteinian revolution?
Einsteinian revolution? Come on. So all they're going to, we're trying to sieve here a bit. So you've got a donut, and you have a hole. So in the middle of the hole is the donut. So did the hole make the donut, or did the donut make the hole? Is that what we're talking about here? So we would say that the hole made the donut.
What is the hole made of from their physics framework, the engineers?
What we're trying to do is accelerate particles to have the friction from that particle mass capture antimatter. And if they can contain antimatter, then they can then diffuse what you think you know that matter is. But it's the long way around the mountain. I mean, it's science, Bob, not aperture. It's just science.
Will they learn about parallel worlds from this experiment?
No, because
they won't.
Find the light switch. If you don't have a bulb, you won't do you much good. You can flip it till you're blue.
Okay, so how do you get the bulb?
Well, we've already laid that out real clear. I mean, humans are already doing it. They've already achieved everything that they're talking about, trying to vindicate, validate, or facilitate with a V, facilitate. They're already there. So for them to come into a position to try to ratify, they're still working off the premise that there's time. And if you get that particle accelerator just going just right, it'll be a big bang, ladies and gentlemen. There'll be a big bang. You crank it up. And the reason they didn't want this in Dallas, Texas, is because Lady Bird Johnson didn't want that myth blowing up in Texas.
Yeah, she's very influential. Was she alive 2 years ago?
Yeah, she was a couple of years ago. But that was her position.
Oh, no, that's the Reagan era, right. During the Reagan era, that's when she put a stop to it.
But that meant don't mess with Texas.
So Reagan was at a smack in his face by her.
No, he did what he was told.
So he was told to put it in, try to put it in there, and he was told not to, and he followed orders.
Still, somebody got $1 billion to dig a hole. They still got $1 billion to dig a hole, and then spent another $1 billion to fill it up. So money was exchanged, but nothing else going on there.
So here's Michio Kaku making very dramatic claims for the justifying the experiment. And you're saying, well, they're just getting in the position of disproving parallel worlding, right? That's what science does.
They're using pretty wordy words, and we like wordy words. It did a great deal for Marshall McLuhan's career, words, so no problem there. But the whole shift of this thing is they're talking about things that they're already contemplating. Now they're trying to use CERN to validate that, number one, that there are parallel worlds. And they're dumping in, this is no different than you, Bob. Bob is cringing, everybody. But you get cringed up.
I'm not cringing. Unless you're talking about my non-physical, which I have no awareness of. I'm talking to it, but I have no awareness. So what am I cringing about? What am I cringing about?
What was Dixon to say?
Okay.
The point is this is the same panel of scientists pre or post Big Bang that were worried that the science was going to come out that the world indeed was not flat. That was revolutionary too.
Yeah, relatively speaking, it's the same dilemma.
Relative theory of relativity is what we're questioning here, isn't it?
Yes, and that's the world is flat of our time.
And it changed everything, Bob. It changed everything. Well, you look back on it now and you go, well, that's just silly. It's like, okay, you've now figured out something that always was. Well, in CERN, they're trying to capture a thimble full of antimatter so that they can prove that matter cannot be.
We've done a lot on cash flow and Ed's excerpted ion talking about CERN. I was hoping we could sort of approach it differently. I may come to the same conclusion.
No.
But
if you'll ask, not from his words. I mean, it was quite a pep rally. We were certainly moved with compassion, but we didn't go write a check to bail him out. So, you know, if you want some questions, we'll answer them.
So you've got this operation in CERN. Why did it not do anything on September 8, 2008?
Well, somebody dropped Lorna Doone cookie crumbs in it, didn't they?
Okay, no, that was the alibi, if I recall that. And then they met a time traveler or somebody there, and they talked to him. Now, we've discussed that on cash flow. So what's another aspect, to make this a bit of an exclusive, what's another aspect of what's going on at CERN that's causing frustration of their experiments?
The acceleration. They don't have the correct molecular strata to accelerate the particles fast enough to gain any significant degree of clean antimatter.
If they get antimatter, what do they suppose from that? How does that begin to show parallel worlds?
It doesn't.
Okay, so they're trying to get antimatter. Is that what they're trying to do? Get antimatter? Create it?
Yeah.
Right.
They're trying to ground the block. They're trying to ground the battery to the block to prove that the truck will run 100 miles an hour. I don't know how you do that, but if you're going to jump off a vehicle, you don't want to hook it straight up to the battery. You'll ground it to the block of the engine, and then you can get some juice flowing. When you get some juice flowing, if your solenoid isn't bad, and your old Holley Renegade carburetor ain't gobbed up, and your generators will gin, and we can't even tell you what the pistons are supposed to do, you can get a flow of energy balancing positive and negative in that circuitry, then you can start an engine. But now, they're saying, because we're going to ground it, we're going to capture this flow, that's how we're going to prove that the Big Bang and what was before the Big Bang. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's your exclusive. There was no Big Bang. It always has been. There's never been a span where it was not. That's the whole point of this eternal being, eternalness. There was no time when there was no Earth.
So there... assuming that we're not immortal, and if we find something before the Big Bang, their sense of a beginning of time, that would be revolutionary. But they're waking up an idea that is not valid in the long run. The Big Bang thing you're saying is not valid, but they're going to prove what some societies already knew.
Or at least throw a whole lot of money checks at it.
That's interesting about science. Because they go at it with the incorrect concepts, whether they know it or not, they don't want the validation because they want the research to go on. So they purposely muddle the concepts they're trying to get. If they had a reading from Ion and Ion told them what was what, they say, okay, we know what's what, so let's start thinking the opposite in the erroneous way so we can keep get funding to do the research. That's the main modus operandi of science then, maybe.
Correct.
They purposely get it wrong.
Well, or study it to the point that many generations had passed and fallen and lost the ideas of the ideas of the ideas.
Right.
Whereas on the flip side, you can have an interaction, get what you get, your desire places. You're a marvelous creator. You've already got the power. And while science and CERN's still working out, you can get busy and have a business and sell bat houses and live happily ever after.
Did they do any more experiments publicly since 2 years ago? Did they announce anything?
Oh, probably announcing something every time they need another block of funding, they're announcing something. Boy, it's euphoric. We're going to change the world, and we're going to prove that something else is out there, and we're going to prove that you are indeed God, and we're going to prove that there is no time. Yay! We're going to make time travel possible. Well, if you can do that without any time, you're a pretty good candidate. You ought to give them boys some money. If that'll fix it up, they need a lot of money checks. Then you kind of run this all back into figuring out how that this slide, this false premise of time, that the premise of all this is based upon, is what they're using to qualify the experience that there are indeed multifaceted dimensionalities within your own beingness. Because what difference does it make what's happening some woo-woo way off somewhere Andromeda strain? If you can't figure out how to pay your light bill, who gives a flip what's going on in Andromeda, for Pete's sake? So you focus on the big outside nothingness to the point that you don't get in your place of power right here, right now. It's you play with the Christian church that gives a heavenly bound that they know earthly good. Well, CERN is simply on that mass of intention of moving themselves outside of any level playing field of credibility.
You mean the credibility of science because of what they're going to discover, or the credibility of application to our lives?
Yes, yes, and yes to the next.
Both, both. So what's interesting, if they're going to prove that we're immortal and there's no time and all this stuff, but if you rely on hearing them prove it, that will not give you the ability to access the timeless or to the parallel world.
Them, how it's going.
Yeah. So by relying on them to gauge where your abilities are, that will frustrate you activating those abilities.
Well, you may find out something, but it'd be by default. If you're going to make the meme be the message, then here's your good example of it.
But you're saying they might report something, or one might engage the idea. Okay, you've got the validation that they're a parallel world, so then you start seeking them out. And you're saying you might have an experience, but it's always comparing it to what they said it would be. So
the limitations they impose, that now becomes the standard by which your knowledge could have to be judged.
So you have no problem with a bunch of people getting funny to work with this big machinery, but you
don't care. Turn that CERN into the accelerator. They're working with super cold temperatures. Run a bunch of cows. It's a pretty nice place out there. Run, churn some cream in through there and make ice cream.
Right, so
my product is something delicious. Call it a Cold Stone Creamery.
But the point is that you have no problem them doing it, but you do have a warning or a problem with anybody taking their results seriously for their own lives.
Oh, it's all just fun. Just finish. Doesn't make any difference to us. And those that are ascending or coming into their place of ascension, they'll let them spin and toil and twirl and play with it and make, and then 60 Minutes can do big reports on it, and all they can document it, and poor Stephen can get all stirred up about it, and boys at Cambridge can get all ripped up about it, and they can figure out what they're going to do, who owns the antimatter, and what they're going to do with the antimatter, and how they're going to apply this new fancy bomb they're going to use to sell to Iraq or Iran so they can bring the Ayatollah Khomeini back into power so we can have good relations again, and run it up and down the flagpole till you wear the cord out all the way down to the point that it's after a little while to come on. Somebody's going to say, come on now, what are you doing? What's doing? What is the point? What is this about? You know, all those degrees of separation, who, what, when, where, how, and why. And then they get tired of that, and then somebody's going to say, okay, congratulations. There are particles. They are moving fast. They're moving fast already anyway. And now you've come into a position where you're going to try to show how fast they are moving because they are already moving that fast. Now, after a little while, you kind of go, now what? Wait, what, Ion? We go, exactly. Don't make a darn mixed bit of sense if you get right down to it. The whole point of it is you somebody have a, some human creator in their place of power. You get a hold of that and lay that thing out, you can tear it up and in somebody's garage, and it'd be just as euphoric. Or they could be like Mr. Newton, get up under an apple tree and see if that apple falls and cracks you in the head. You can have a euphoric experience.
You're saying that someone could do what they're doing in Switzerland in their garage?
Absolutely.
What kind of different technology would be required?
Oh, sense.
Sense?
Yeah.
C-E-N-T-S or S-E-N-S-E?
The kind of horse sense what a mule's got.
Have they secretly, not announced, acquired, created antimatter?
Less than a thimbleful, and it's not stable.
And so that's not significant enough to announce if it's unstable.
Right.
They want to get stabilized antimatter.
Right, so they can undo matter.
So when they get antimatter, You see them getting it first?
Well, it's up to them. But now, wait a second now. You're drawing a parallel. Leave them out of it. Are you asking us, is there antimatter here on the planet, right here, right now? We say, yes. Already there's antimatter. Already. And what they're doing is trying to find the antimatter that already is.
They think they have to create it.
Correct. And there you sort of bump into yourself, right?
Okay, so where is it now on the, quote, Earth?
Oh, it's a natural ambient material.
They don't know it's here.
Of course not. They wouldn't spend billions and billions and billions of dollars trying to create it if it was already here.
What is its role, the antimatter that's here?
The balancing of the proton and neutron of electrons in the ionosphere. Not having anything to do with us. Well, probably does, but it's in the ionosphere.
So the ionosphere is the unobserved or unplumbed or explored part of subatomic physics. That's the new frontier for them.
Deliciously spoken, Bob. Very good. Marshall would be proud of you.
Okay, so now, Ed, you can jump in any time. You got a question here, Ed.
Yeah, get us somewhere, because, you know, like I say, I want to go get the pom-poms and do the wave and wave in the crowd, and we've listened in fine and beautiful words, never been more spoken, and on and on and on. Wonderful. But the whole gist of the whole thing has nothing to do with that. The gist of the whole process is, can humans go beyond what is? And the answer is yes. And it won't take no CERN, con, or otherwise to get you in that notion until you come into your place that you're even interested in the eclectic dynamic that they're trying to prove. All this on laws that humans made up that ain't been, they just said this is it by default, so therefore the speed of light is. Well, it ain't that, no such a thing. The boiling point of water is. Well, it ain't that way, no such a thing, and it's changing. And that's going to change everything. Where is the delicious conceptual value judgment placed by the human creators when they come into their place of the ascension? Changes everything.
I'm interested in what's going to happen there. Their concepts are not agreed upon with what you're saying, but what will they accomplish? Or what are they accomplishing even now?
They are consuming vast sums of money checks.
And that's about it.
And what about
what
the
is,
individuals from a parallel world who are observing at CERN?
They are laughing. It's the funniest thing. It'd be like you going back to the Stone Age and watching them screaming at sticks trying to get them to catch fire.
So are you saying that these individuals from these other worlds, they do understand these principles that Ion was just explaining?
Well, of course, but they do apparently have really groovy snacks. So all the parallel world travelers so far have just gone there for refreshments. Kit Kat bars, Snicker bars out of the vending machine.
They like that.
It's delicious. Good old shiny white sugar, yep.
I think Ion said that parallel worlders set up this project for some reason.
Well, Bobby, they're all rooting you humans on. Trying to get you any way you can go to get yourself into your individual place of power. And if that's a WPA, a public works project, to keep things pumping till you can figure it out, whatever it takes, you know, whatever it takes to get you through the night. But get on with it. If you're going to be powerful in your place of power, get on with it. If not, just go on and get out of the way.
So Mr. Kaku stumbles into this recording and says to me, Bob, I'd like to talk to Ion about his inflammatory, irresponsible statements about the inappropriateness of our CERN project. Now, let's say he comes in and he objects. What would you say to him?
We'd tell him what string theory really is, that it's his, what he makes his living showing people.
Great. Okay, that's a good point. What is it really?
Oh, good. Okay. String theory. Here you go. Every step you take, lateral, reverse, left, right, or any angle, is a path of your dimensional reality if you accept it as your reality. Okay? Now, if you don't, then that's a different conversation. But assuming, you know how we feel about that, assuming that you do, then that becomes a progressive linear progression. A progressive linear progression. Hey, Ed, you get up 4 o'clock in the morning, we have no idea why, to take your walks. Your walk is a progressive linear progression. You start off, you walk, you go away, one way or another. Doesn't always have to be the same way, but you take a walk. Now, every time you deviate from your walking normal path, that would be an example of string theory.
What's the string theory concept that that's an example of?
Well, that he has a flow of a progression, and that flow of a progression is a progression. And string theory, all string theory says, is that all these interwinding, and they are whining a bit, but these intertwining realities form together a linear path of a, quote, string. And that string, as they are intertwined, become the girth of the large reality. And in the large reality, that's the process that they're trying to vindicate and explain what these different parts and paths that are being laid out that is, that's how they're trying to validate that point. And so after about 2.3 seconds, you turn around and go, now, wait a second. Hold on just a minute now. Wait a minute. Now, all you're trying to prove that every time I get up in the morning and take my walk, that if I take a different path, that's a different reality. And Ed says, well, yeah. You don't have to be a PhD candidate at CERN to figure that one out. You don't even have to go to preschool at Eton or Cambridge to figure that one out. It's all good. If I go a different way, that's a different path that I'm taking, so therefore a different string of my string theory that would be part of my position. Now, Ed, you look back 40 or 50 years, and you combine all the paths that you've taken, and you warp those all together, and you make a chord. Well, then that chord now becomes the totality of your experience, of your linear progression in your strolls. And not only that, many times you end up back at home the same day you left, don't you?
Yes, that's right.
Well, now you've looped the string theory. Because you started off at home, you took a walk, you ended up back at home. Okay, well, you could have not gone on the walk that day and still had a complete loop. Because the lines of this string that they're trying to explain in some gobbledygooping, wum, wah, wah, woo, woo, quantum physics extravaganza comes right back down to humans coming into their place of power for what they know. Once you know, you don't have to have science to tell you. All is available for your knowing. And what you're seeing now, and it's happening as we speak, Bob can bear witness, if he will. Maybe not. It's just as it strikes him. But can bear witness that this entire civilization is shifting. What is it when you throw a rock off a building and it falls at 32 feet per second per second? Well, it gets faster as it starts its race to the bottom. Well, so are humans. They're going more and more and more extreme, trying to get themselves into a place that they could know without having to go all that extreme. So once that is the case, then what you're going to see is all this stuff And that's the nicest word we can think of. You bring JW4 in here, Bob, he'll tell you some other words to go along with that. But we'll be soft with it because it's pleasurable. But the point is, all this they're trying to kill themselves to validate or work out is easily explained, worked out, and better than that, known. Once it becomes known, then the ones that know better ain't going to give it time of day.
Most of the Newtonian physics was built on the effect of the printing press, and we don't live in that reality anymore. And it sounds like string theory, since we're emphasizing this continuous connected thing that winds all over the place, is the print effect known as science that's hanging on a string. And they're trying to validate there's still a string, a linear string going on.
Well, here's how it works. Once you figure it out, it'll no longer be a theory. It'll no longer be it won't be a string theory.
It will be what?
It'll be linear progression.
And that's just simply what it is.
Ta-da! There you go.
And that doesn't serve you because if you start thinking you're going a linear progression,
you're backing up. Very good.
You're missing the stacked up nows.
That's right. By the time they figure it out, you're lost in space. Space, the final frontier. at the Starship Enterprise and coming in together to boldly go where no man has gone before. Well, you see, I mean, it did great for William Shatner, but pass the money checks, what's the point?
What is going on at CERN today? What dilemmas have they got?
The rabbit around the stump.
Hey, Ed, do you remember some of the concepts Michio Kaku said? He talked about parallel worlds, knowing stuff before the bang.
String theory, quantum physics, and the conclusion of what was before the Big Bang, recreating the Big Bang, and I guess what he didn't say that he wanted to say and when it will all be over.
If we take on Ion's, don't want to say cynicism, but...
Not cynicism, it's great fun. Oh, it's great fun. Lots of things are fun. But it's just as significant to talk about Lady Gaga's brisket briefs as it is this gobbledygook. At least she's pretty to look at.
Often, though, these things lead to unforeseen inventions or new technology. Is there anything unforeseen?
When? When does that happen?
Well, I guess when Einstein came up with the E equals MC squared, that led to the atomic bomb. He didn't come up with it.
How does that work? E equals MC squared. Problem is, I don't hold water, does it, Bob?
Supposedly, that helped people get a focus on energy, and it led to the atomic bomb in 1945.
Well, now, if you bring it all the way back, if you're talking about paperclip, the Manhattan Project, if that's what you're referring to, well, that's a whole. That also was very handy for growing tomatoes that come out at 75 pounds. But beyond that, it didn't do very much, Bob, because they ain't even running with that. They've just found out that they had cells that you could actually divide, split an atom. That's all it worked out. Well, atoms are, by their half-lives, divide all the time. You could take butter, cow milk, and put it in a churn and split atoms all day long. Separate the atoms of whole milk into cream and make buttermilk. You created buttermilk, you marvelous creator. You created buttermilk. That's people on the farm have done more in their churns than CERN has concerned themselves to churn so far.
What makes people be hypnotized by the value of big science?
We couldn't answer that because they're not.
Well, then who's funding them?
Oh, that's interesting. Who's funding them? Well, isn't that the question?
Who wants this project to go on either to be a big distraction or to, they generally believe, a lead somewhere?
The creators of the physicists that work there.
You mean Stephen Hawking et al., the fraternity.
University.
And it becomes part of tourism, too, I guess. has an appeal for the country of Switzerland. Is it something a new Lord's, L-O-U-R-D-E-S, phenomenon is being created, a new miracle?
Work for Charlemagne.
Right, right. Okay, so I just thought I'd like to rehear Michio Kaku again.
Ed may have some burning questions.
Okay.
He may tear it up right here, right now. Ed, what did you get out of this that you'd like to know?
I'm not too interested in what the boys at CERN are doing. I'm more interested in what I'm doing.
Very good. And you follow that path to your joy, and what you find the part that is the part that could euphorically give the answers to what they can't seem to figure out and not spend $20 billion on it.
So they're not too concerned about producing something from it. They just want to keep the questions going.
And if it was about a money check, somebody would be foreclosing on them bastards.
It is about a money check.
No, if it was about a gain from a money check.
Because
the investors would want money back, or they'd be done shut that moneymaker down.
Who is funding? We've answered that. The university, Union of University Professors.
We say the system, yes.
And there are a lot of kids in school who were taught about CERN, you know, grade 8 and 9 physics or whatever. Their science teachers use this as propping up significance in their own courses. So the whole educational system in the West, or maybe all around the world, even in China, wants these icons of practical science that are leading to unforeseen developments to be there in the news horizon, so it makes the teachers, local teachers, feel purposeful.
Well, of course, but don't worry, Bob. The memes got a hold of it now. Now you can also go to college and you can have a class on Lady Gaga.
I like the enthusiasm, the naivety of the interviewer. I don't know who it is.
It, like I said, it was a beautiful. We wanted to get our little pom-poms and do a little cheer.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was wonderful. It was wonderful, but a whole lot of cheering went on, but I couldn't tell which team he was rooting for.
Yeah, because he's not believing it. He says, most people might say, oh, how does this apply to my TV set? It's just going to make a better TV. Now, E=mc² led to the atomic bomb, but you're saying, no, it didn't. The atomic bomb happened for other reasons. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Parallel worlding interaction?
Well, not necessarily, Bob. It's just, that'd be like saying we're gonna invent tomatoes. Well, you don't invent tomatoes. You plant a seed, and plants come up. You watch it, throw a little dew anner on it, little miracle grow, and you leave it alone. Take your hands off of it, and next thing you know, you'll get little tomato, little blooms, and then something will buzz around it a little bit or shake them vines a little bit, and then tomatoes will come on, fruit will come on. That ain't that science would have you believe they created tomatoes.
They would say they're going to improve them. And
oh,
didn't you say?
Oh, yes, Lord. Let's get us some of that science. Yes. Let's get some of that science and get some of them good tomatoes. Yep. But then that's what they got at Oak Ridge anyway, with 75-pound tomatoes, wasn't it?
Is that public knowledge?
Why,
did that get
it? Everywhere. You get down there. You go down there to Watts Dam and you see some of them cantaloupes that comes in about 100 pounds. It ain't no secret down there.
So that's where the imagery of growth getting out of control that led to the science fiction B movies of the '50s, because that was announced that you could, and they proved that they could make bigger tomatoes. They showed it.
Yes, Lord. It was even on Gilligan's Island when they got big crates of irradiated seeds, Bob, and they're raising sugar beets that Thurston Howell, the third's wife, Missy, loves so much. It's coming in at about 25-pound sugar beets. Ed, you ought to get you some of them seeds. You could beat them boys at CERN.
So that was the benefit of Project Paperclip or the Manhattan Project. The atomic bomb was an unfortunate side effect of getting bigger tomatoes.
Unfortunate? We don't see it as unfortunate.
Atomic energy is okay.
Oh, we don't care. Atomic energy is kind of silly. That'd be like setting the woods on fire to see if it'll burn. It's no problem. It's a logical progression. Now, that'll fit into your string theory. No problem. No problem. Make a new gun, blow somebody up, then they let them blow you up, and then them fight about who's going to get who's blow, who's going to get whacked off. Oh, wait, no, there's a movie about that. No. You know, just play with it. It makes no difference. At the end of the day, as long as you are reaching the ascension, all this drivel just kind of washes itself up, and you get so happy pleasing and delighting yourself as something you stumble over your way of something that's going to change society, then it will. Boom.
Well, Bobby, you just mentioned that Mr. Kaku did say that they were spending all this money not for anything of practical value, no new cell phones or computer enhancements, but to answer big questions like, who are we and where do we come from and where are we going?
Mm-hmm. And why are we here? And how do we get there from here or here from there?
It definitely is a modern religion, this science. Like the Catholic Church answered those questions, and you had your choice whether you'd take it or not. It's preposterous for a lot of people to think that those questions would be answered by big science, but big science is putting on that role, like they're a church, a modern church.
Wow. Great, and then we'd smile and say, all right, humans, how's that all working out for you?
So, Ed, you certainly don't require science's answers.
So far, everything they've answered just turned into another darn question. So far, everything they've made clear, they turned right around and muddied. So we aren't impressed. Boy, we found DNA. Oh, yes, we know DNA. But they don't know spit about it. All they're using DNA for is to get convicted rapists out of jail, for Pete's sake. That's the extent of DNA. Just so you can get your baby daddy out of jail because he wasn't your baby daddy.
So at my laboratory, I work with non-physical, thanks to ION. Would you recommend that they start working with non-physical? They might get better products?
We say please yourself.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm doing.
Because Bob ain't telling. He ain't going to tell tales out of Sunday school.
Yeah, we do have a lab here, but we're not at liberty to tell anybody what we're doing.
Yeah, they got that elephant, Bob, in his living room. They're wrapping string around his feet to keep him still because he's just loping up and down the steps and just tearing up everything. They take the string theory. They're working it out at Bobcat. That's why it's all top secret. And the Council of Ten has been weaving those fleeces from New Zealand, not too far away, making this twine just as far as they can. It's going to take up knitting. But no, they decided to take up the string theory, and they're trying to wrap that pink elephant up in twine so they can finally prove officially that the string theory works. There you go.
Now, what's interesting is that the Nazis, they used mediums to advance their science. But you wouldn't call that working with non-physical, or would you?
Anything that brings you into your place of knowing, anything that brings you into... If it takes an Adolf Hitler to get you into knowing something, go for it. Go for it. You still talking about the devil? He must have been some kind of a creator.
So
60 years and still talking about it.
So I think the Nazis had 11 mediums or channels, and you're saying what they learned from them is an activity moving you towards your non-physical just because you're using the input from them, just because it's a new way of getting...
It validated that we are a people that we're not. It validated that you are bigger than you could be. It validated that this little old bitty Berlin could come in here and make a right, third or otherwise, that could threaten the actual sovereignty of the entire world. A bunch of little neo-Nazis gonna come in here and tear up the world, and they'd like to done it.
And the interesting thing is that they used non-scientific...
They used their power. They didn't care where it come from.
Hey.
It was the fastest, their joy, and they could give a happy pluck where it come from. Didn't make any difference to them. The only drawback, the only place they dropped the ball, is they got a little confused between their power and authority. If they'd have stayed in the power side, it'd have been too wet to plow in, way too wet. You better just let it lay fallow, because it's way too wet to plow. if they hadn't got tangled up with the authority issue. Now we say once you come into your place of power, you get all authority. But don't focus on the authority, focus on the power. You get the power just right, and authority will take care of itself. Every single time, without fail or exception. Hey, boys at CERN, y'all want to save some money checks? Put Bob in charge of your little program up there for about a month, and by God, you'll see what will come out of that little hole, donutted or otherwise.
That's what's interesting about science, is that they limit the tools they use or could use. They define what the range of what could be used.
They define the hypothesis based on the conclusion.
To support the technology that they're funding.
That they're trying to find.
I like that. People are exploring reality, their realities, every day. To the degree they told what tools are valid or not, they're losing their own advantages in making their own home a laboratory.
They wanted to have some fun. All right, boys at CERN, since you had the pep rally, we'll tell you something you can do that be serve you very well. Get some of them Forbes, some of them fruit people, the people that handle the fruit business, I guess they call that apple. Get you some apple and get you some of them 99-cent apps, okay, and show everything that goes on in CERN. Make it available everywhere, live. They can tweet about it. The twits, they do the, oh no, sorry, the twit. What'd you call it, the twit?
No, tweet. Tweet.
Oh, tweet, twit. No, the twits tweet. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The twits tweet. Get a 99-cent app, show everything that's going on, every time a commode flushes, where you are when it flushes, how it felt after it flushed, everything goes on. And to make it available on the World Wide Web, they got apps for that on the 4G network. And then let people write blogs about the efficiency of CERN. Let them write blogs and give suggestions of just wide open. And you'll see some little grannies coming in there that'll be tweeting. And boy, they'll tell them, well, if you'll move this proton over here and get this untangled from over there and fire Sally, because that heifer ain't doing nothing but burning up time. Get her out of there and run the efficiency equation from some efficient aperture application. Why, you might actually get something fodder out of that silage meal.
If they put the whole thing online and everybody could watch it, might be interesting for 6 months, but then, and this is the reason they wouldn't, then everybody get bored and they wouldn't be able to make a splash anymore.
They'd put the situation and Snooki in there, let them get a job as reality, and let them get showing their butts up there and the situation, like on Jersey Shore. Oh,
yeah.
Yes, and then they'd have something to talk about. And boy, you'd have something going on. They could fund that thing. Wouldn't have to have any outside funding at all. Advertisers would take over that, and it'd be great. They might actually come up with something.
Like the old church, they keep it secret. They keep the mystique going. It's a losing battle today, but that's what they're doing. They're trying to be the new church with the secret power hidden behind the altar.
Like the church, they have their own choir. I did find the choir entertaining.
They have to have somebody to preach to, Bob.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, they have a song called the Particle Physics Song. It's a music video from the folks at CERN featuring the CERN choir.
There you go. See, they catch it on. You boys, y'all run with that meme. The medium is the message. Marshall McLuhan would be proud.
It was fun. He was so enthusiastic and the interviewer was just dumbfounded and awestruck, and now we find out that it was a total scam, and the physicists don't even want to achieve anything. They just want to keep getting funding because never have a finish line.
Well, if they found out something, what would they be to do?
And you're also saying that there's not anything, any technological product that's going to come out of what they discover.
Until a human creator gets a hold of it and embraces it, and through contrast, validate something that is. And then when that is can't be destroyed because it's created, then and only then, they'll say, yep, them boys at CERN, they figured it out. They went through every string there was and found the end of the string. They found the beginning of the ball of twine and the end of the ball of twine and where the twine come from, and when, how this affects other balls of twine, and what the sheep ate to get the wool to spin to make the twine, and how they got that thread together, and how those threads are weaved together. And then and they made another movie about that with the weavers, with the shuttles, when it would drop little threads, and they read messages in the materials, and that told who was supposed to be the next one assassinated in the whole process. Oh, it's just great fun. And then you can roll with that, and we say everybody that's interested in that, tear it up. Have just good, great gobbledygooks of fun with it. But it don't make it be in the essence or the place of your place of power. Get your own power. Get you some. Get you some of your own power. You got to get you some. Get your own. And when you get your own, then it'll be an outer kingdom experience that we're talking about that brings you into the place that you'd actually have something meaningful or validatable to talk about, of you pleasing and delighting yourself, coming into a place where you're so busy doing just that, pleasing and delighting yourself, that there's nothing that they're going to come up with that you couldn't have already in your own experience. Soon and very soon, as they say.
Right. The Weavers was the name of that movie you made passing reference to?
No, it was not the name of the movie. It was the killer movie, where the daddy was the sharpshooter that could bend bullets. And then he came in and he was had to shoot the flies off of the wings off the flies, and then did it, and the fly was alive. And then it rolled along. You play with that.
You don't have a title, Ion.
Not giving titles. Life is a participation sport.
Okay, Ed. That's that. That was really good, interesting. And I think we've empowered millions of people with this one, Ed.